G'day everyone, this is X-Band, the Fandom Podcast. Our website is chroniclechamber.com and you can subscribe to our podcast via YouTube or through your favourite podcast app. Please give us a rating which helps other fanatics find us. This is episode 277. It is the March 2024 Comics and News Review, where we get a chance to catch up on all the latest happenings within the Phantom world, from both here in Australia and all around the world. I'm Steve, and today we've got Jermaine. How are you going there, Jim?
Good, mate. Good. It's holidays as we're recording this. I'm about to go on a 3-week break from work. My manager is freaking out. So that's always a good sign because it means that the chances are I still have a job when I come back. And the better thing is where I'm going, there's not going to be any phone reception, so I cannot be bothered for 3 weeks.
Fantastic. Well, you enjoy that. Now, unfortunately, we don't have Dan the Man with us today. He's taken ill. He's been a bit crook. He could barely look at a screen, he was saying. So we wish Dan all the best and hope he's getting better soon. All right. Now, last podcast, we did a bit of a How's Your Phantom Month theme. So we thought we'd make that one, we'd return it this for this podcast as well. So, Jerm, how has your Phantom Month been?
Good as well. On Thursday, one of those days, they all kind of merge into one. I received a package that from a Phantom artist that I've been working on a deal with for probably pre-COVID, I think it was. So,
long game on that one.
I got a couple of sketch covers, some original artwork, and some signed comics and stuff like that as well. So it was nice to have that one closed, finalized, and everything as well. So that's probably been my highlight for this month.
Ah, oh, that's excellent.
What about yourself?
I'm actually really ticked off about my Phantom Month. Like this morning, I had to send an email to Fru letting them know that I haven't received my last two issues in my subscription, as well, of course, as the accompanying file cards. And I certainly hope that it's only me that this is happening to and that it's not widespread, there's not a widespread problem. Because, after I aired my concerns in the last podcast, they certainly haven't done themselves any favours in the past month. All of a sudden, I don't have any comics. And I like to think I'm pretty optimistic, one of the most optimistic of us. But I've got concerns with Fru at the moment that they're just failing their customers. Over the last couple of months, it really wasn't unreasonable for me to receive my comics, a day after the on-shelf date or even the Monday, Tuesday of the week following. And it's just, it happens so often that I just came to terms with it, that it just happened. Which, when I first subscribed, they were nice and early, like everybody else who gets their subscriptions are. But I've been quite disappointed lately, and now they're just not turning up. So that's why I'm concerned. Fru's getting a fail mark at the moment, or unsatisfactory. I'm a teacher, so in the middle of grading assessments and that sort of stuff. If the comic turns up by the on shelf date, well, that's a C because that's what you expect. And I even expect that if it comes on the Friday, well, I'll give them an Australia Post leeway, all right? That could be Australia Post, something's happened there, all right? So that's still a C. That's still what you expect. Anything beforehand, well, you get a better mark. So it arrives on the Wednesday, it's a B. It arrives 2 days beforehand, well, that's an A. Anything before that, A plus, and, well, you're shouting from the rafters there. You got it so early. But in the last couple of months, they've been sitting on the D and E, getting on the Monday, Tuesday afterwards, and now I'm just not getting them. That's a big old F. That's a unsatisfactory in my book. So I certainly hope that it's only me it's happening to, and this problem isn't widespread. I certainly hope that they see my message soon. I realise it's the Easter weekend, so that probably no one's going to see it until Tuesday at the earliest. I just hope that whatever's going on over at through HQ, they can get their affairs in order and look after the customers who, and I realize this is the first world problem, but I've paid my subscription. It's it's money that could go other way. No, I've decided to put it to fruit to a habit that I enjoy. It's not hurting anyone. It's a bit of fun. And the director of Fru is an accountant, aren't they? They should know the value of money and that you should be getting what you pay for. And at the moment, I'm not, and I'm really ticked off about it. On a more optimistic note, Supernova's next weekend in Melbourne, and I'm looking forward to catching up with creators and fans down there. So hopefully I'll have a smile on my dial by then.
Yes, and there's going to be a few, while we're talking about Supernova, there's going to be a few creators, but we will discuss that in the run sheet.
Yep, a little bit later on.
Yeah. No, look, I think that's fair comments. We're through. So, well, subscription, because the bonus about a subscription is if you buy the comics at the newsagent or at the comic book shop, the money gets shared around between through the newsagent, the distributor, the comic book shop. But if you're buying the subscription directly to Fru get all of that money. They don't have to then share it with the distributor and all that. So you would think that a subscription would be, you know, at least a day earlier, not 3-4 days later. Otherwise, there's no benefit for you getting a subscription.
No, there's none whatsoever. Apart from the, I do enjoy the final cards, but
yeah,
I'm really ticked off about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, should we move on to the comics then, you reckon?
Yes, we should. Now, people are wondering, how the heck can we review a comic if I haven't been able to read it? Well, fortunately, it's called modern technology and we've got scans and that sort of stuff. So I have been able to have a quick look over them, which I'm very grateful for. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, and look, we do these scans for our podcast, so that way if you're watching it on YouTube, you can see it because not everyone who watches the podcast gets the Fruise. Now, the scans are not high quality. We don't print them. We don't share them. They're literally for the podcast. So that's what we do. Hopefully it's just a better feature for the for you, the viewers. So this is the cover here.
Here's the cover, yep.
So this is the cover here from Alex Tripp. I quite like the cover. It's lots of action. You've got the bad guy, you know, two bad guys in a sense. They're nice and big. So, look, I really like Alex's work. I feel like his Phantom's probably a little bit less musclier than some of his other ones. And even his face is maybe a little bit less detailed as well. Look, artists go through styles and changes and they try different techniques. We've seen that with Cy Barry over his 30 years. But I like what Alex has done here. I think at times he was maybe a little bit too musclier, but where I think he's finding a good balance. I do like his work. And he is going to be at Supernova, so make sure you get him to sign it. And even a better idea, which for those who are wanting something a little bit different, talk to him about Remarks. So Remarks is where he'll get your comic and then he'll draw like a little Phantom, little figurine and stuff like that. So like if you like the idea of original artwork, but you don't want to pay $500, $600, $700 for a cover or something, give him the comic and he'll do like a little Phantom, little face and stuff like that. And most of them will do that.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them do that now. So, The King of Beggars by Pergy Herbsted and Carlos Cruz. While on a trip to London for family business in 1840, the 15th Phantom happens to meet a Henry Clay, who is concerned that something has happened to his cousin Sophie, as he hasn't heard from her in quite some time. In her last letter, she had mentioned that she felt that she was being followed, and then nothing after that. The Phantom then negates his family business and assists Henry to uncover the whereabouts of Sophie. What follows is a rollercoaster ride of deceit and cover-ups orchestrated by the King of Beggars and the rats in his employ to stop the Phantom and Henry from uncovering Sophie's whereabouts. So who really is this King of Beggars? And why is it important that this Sophie is out of the picture? Can the Phantom and Henry uncover her whereabouts before it's too late?
Now, if I was to be picky, because I love this story, love the story, love the cover, love everything about it. But if I was picky, The bit at the beginning where they're talking, where was it? If they're talking about this bit here, the insurance scam, I guess you want to call it. If that was more towards the end, so you're kind of led along trying to figure out why the King of Beggars is doing this, that would have been maybe the only change I probably would have included, is because it was kind of almost a, you knew why they were trying to knock all these people off on page 6 instead of maybe page 20 or something like that.
26. Yeah, good point. That's fair. Actually, yeah, it's not bad. But apart from that, I thought the story was a really, really, really good. Compared, yeah, I thought it was really good.
And one of the things that I like about it is that it's a real detective-esque style story. You've got the
It
Phantom, he's
is.
going around, and I like my Phantom as a detective. So I've enjoyed it. Really enjoy this. I love the artwork, because you were a new fan around similar time as me, within a couple of years and all that. So you and I, we grew up and became fanatics, I guess is for a nicer term, dining out on Carlos Cruz's artwork.
Yeah, there's
So
the familiarity to it from the 90s. Oh, how old is this story? I couldn't quite see that when I was looking at the scans.
92.
92. So
So,
that really was a golden era for the Egmont story, or was it Egmont back then? Anyway, Phantom. And the 90s were awesome, and that hooked a lot of people in. And this really is of the era. It's a great rollicking story, a mystery. We've got, this what would you call it? Some sort of special power where he can control the rats and let them do his bidding. It's really good. I've really enjoyed it.
yeah, no, I did as well. And I guess what also helps with it is having the whole 32 pages to go into a little bit more detail. And you know how sometimes we talk about, oh, glad this story wasn't 32 pages because it was short and punchy. Where I think this was the opposite. Because we've had a 32 pages, it's really allowed the writer and the artist to really give us a nice development of the story. So, yeah, I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, and even though it's 32 pages, everything is explored, but there's no filler in it. There's bang, something's happened, bang, something's happened, sort of, bang, that leads on the next thing, leads on the next thing. There's no filler in between. The biggest filler parts are at the very start and the very end, and they don't go for very long. But that's just, Heloise has knocked something over and there's a rat, and let's go to the Chronicle Chamber and read the story. Then at the end, they say something that, good story or whatever, and run off. So, and it only takes, what, three or four panels, I think, but to really set up and close up. So, that's fine. And then, so really it's 31 pages of story, and it was a welcome change. I think we've been getting these short stories, and which have been great, the 20 odd pages. There's no filler in them. They've really got to go bang bang, but you actually got to explore the characters and then get to, you can see the worry on Henry, about Sophie. So no, I think we've done well with this one.
Yeah, it makes me question why it wasn't included, why it wasn't printed originally. But yeah, look, I don't. Yeah, I'm glad we got it. Really enjoyed reading it. Another little interested couple of little points is that there's only now one story by Carlos Cruz that has not been published by Fru. So
Right,
if
you know what it is?
not on the top of my head, no, that would have. But yeah, there's one. That little tidbit came from Christopher Whitmore, I think it was. Look, I would like to see that story created. Enjoyed all his stories. Carlos Cruz would, because some of his stories would be due for to be republished because they've been out of print
They've been there
for
for long.
20, 30 years. So I wouldn't mind, and look, if Fru ever go back towards it, but maybe some like an artist edition annual or artist edition trade paperback with the new story and some of his classics, it could be nice to see it. And then lastly, the other point is that The other thing that I really liked about the story is the point that the Phantom kept the Mr. Walker alias separate from who he is.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it?
Now, it was a little bit cheesy going running along the rooftops and stuff like that, like a little bit over
But it
the
has
top.
that extra element of fun.
Yeah, but one of the things that I like about my Phantom is that we know who the Phantom is and we know who Mr. Walker is. And yes, sometimes they're in the same city as each other, but are they the same? No, they're not. They're different. You know, he was over here and now he's over there. And that's, you know, I think that's an important law that I think sometimes gets, well, a lot of the time gets forgotten, is that the Phantom and Mr. Walker are separate characters.
Good point. And I thought, yeah, it was interesting the way that he did it, even though the fellow tends to have a bit of an idea by the end of it. But still, it was nice to, bit of fun to keep him separate. Okay, so being a 32-pager or whatever it was only the one story in that issue. Our next issue, though, through number 1967, who's the cover by there, Jim?
So here's the cover here. So the original drawings of the front cover, which is of the Phantom doing the jump, is by John Snyder III. But it's been colored by someone else called Wright with a W. Wright, which you can probably see down there. And I've actually seen the original of this cover, and it looks great, but this actually gives a different element design to it. So it's intriguing with that. And then you've got the back cover, which is by Giancarlo Cardazzo, I think is how
You
you...
still play with that one?
Yeah, Caracuzzo, which he's done a lot of the trade paperbacks, and he did the Kiss of Death with the story by Peter Anderson. So I quite like that. It could have quite easily been used as a front cover, but it's also quite nice as a back cover as well. So, so that's the front cover there. All in colour as well, which I'm sure you're getting to.
Oh, nice. No, I wasn't getting to that because I didn't know because I didn't read that one. I read the Irish one.
Yeah, well,
So
the
this,
Irish one's also in colour, and so this is in colour as well.
Yeah, so this story is the Scarlet Sapphire, which was originally published by Lightning Strike. More on that in just a moment. And it's written by, created by Stephen Mooney and Robert Carey. Now, the plot. The Phantom has received intelligence that a certain respected businessman has been illegally mining precious jewels and has been working the native workforce to death. The tribes haven't realized this as their sons all seem to be sending money back to their communities, so they're able to purchase much needed housing and medicine. But they are beginning to realize that there are no more young men around. Is the Phantom's intelligence correct? Are Senator Palmer's accusation on national TV going to come to fruition? And just who is this businessman's bodyguard? I thought it was really interesting that that Dana is a senator now.
Yeah, that's probably the first thing that interests me, is like, is she a senator for Bangalla? Or, because that's what I'd assume she is.
Yeah, you'd assume that.
Which I'm assuming she would have to be probably a resident, so she actually like lives in Bangalla, which I like. Like, I never liked how Lee Falk had Diana not living in Bangalla. And I understand, you know, like, you know, living in New York and working for the new, you know, the UN and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it works better when Diana's in Bangalla. And the other thing that I really love about this story, which is probably the thing that I love the most about this story, is that Diana has her own starring role. She is an actual hero. You know, she is, you know, she's, you know, for the lack of a better term, she's a badass.
She is. Actually, that's something that was a little bit lost as I'm reading it. We've just seen in the story, in the previous story, where we had 32 pages and, you know, things could be explored off that. This one, as good as the story is, there is a couple of times where it's like a hard cut.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, yeah, oh, what's going on here? You know, they're in a courtroom. Oh, hang on, no, we're in the mine. Like, and is that Diana? Like, where is she here? You know, a couple of those hard, well, I call them hard cuts, for lack of a better term for it, but a couple of those were a little bit disjointing.
Yeah, I thought the coloring was interesting. Like you look at this page here, where it's like that full on red, which makes, like it's like danger, 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 and then you've got the beginning of the confrontation between the Phantom and the bad guy. So the coloring's quite interesting. And then like how they've done the beard and stuff, they've given it a real realistic look. I'll see if I can zoom in for that for those who are, which kind of gives it that real fuzziness, which actually looks like a real beard. So I thought, like, some of the coloring and the inking styles, it's probably a little bit different for some Phantom fans who are maybe not used to it. But I quite liked it. And then I must admit, with the bad, what are your thoughts about the bad girl or the
The
Scarlet?
bodyguard.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see more of her. She's not in there for very long, but there's always the opportunity for a comeback.
Yeah. Now, I must admit, I find her interesting. Like, she's got, now, I'm not an expert in this field whatsoever. So I'm probably going to get it wrong. But from my understanding, she's wearing a hijab, that's how you say it, right? Which is over her head. But then she's scantily dressed in, boobs showing and her arms are uncovered and stuff like that. So I get the feeling from her top that she's is Arabic or, like Middle Eastern, from what you understand with the hijab. But then I find it, I struggle to understand why she's wearing, something you a more assumed Black Widow would wear, which is almost kind of like two contrasts. So I wonder if, I think
Maybe
she's,
it's just, maybe reading too much, it's just her fashion sense.
yeah, maybe I am, but I just, I think she's a great character. I think we do see her more in some of the Lightning Strikes ongoing series. But maybe, I don't know, is it culturally insensitive? So
Interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, but apart from that, I like it. Love how Diana is a proper hero in
Heroin.
heroine. And I like how Devil kind of gets in with the horses.
Yeah, Devil's great too. Everyone gets a starring role. Oh, I don't think Hero does, but the rest of them do. But it's good to see it in the Phantom, in the through comic. Now, talking about Lightning Strike, they've announced that they're working on a new creative team, or they've got a new story or something going on.
Yes. So, as we have discussed in our last podcast, also when we've discussed it on the website, in articles and stuff like that as well, we said that we predicted, and we were correct. Let's give us a yay, a tick for that one. That we expect Fru to be looking at the Lightning Strikes comics, which obviously is Fru 167. We didn't realize that it was going to be that close, but yeah. Then Lightning Strikes have announced. And then I've got a screenshot. So if you're on YouTube, you'll see the comment word by word. But they have made comment that they're working on a new creative story. But there's no word as of yet on the creator team.
Ah, very good. Can you just hold that?
Yeah, so this is the
What is
cover
up in that
here.
corner there? Why is there a lightning strike on the cover?
I don't know. So if you're on YouTube again, you'll see what we're talking about. I'm just going to pin it so that way you can kind of see what we're talking about. But yeah, underneath the Fru corner box, you have an in associate with Lightning Strike. Obviously, it's looks like it's flipped reversed on. But like, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, they're going to start doing this for Egmont. They're going to do it for Fratelli Sparta. Is this setting a precedent? Are we going to have, if they're going to be multiple stories of the Scandinavian stuff and Italian stuff, or are we just going to have a whole, thing down the spine there along the left-hand side, all the different publishing companies that they're using or that they're getting their stories from? I don't think it's necessary. I don't like it.
Now, I got a theory that it's part of the deal on Fru using these stories. So
It
I
has been a couple of ways as well.
I personally think that's why it's going to happen. I think you raise, and I never thought of it, so you raise a brilliant point about, are they going to start doing the Fratelli Sparta logo, the Egmont one? We know they are going to be doing Wick stories from the old Bastia one. So are they going to then be doing the Wick logo? Maybe does this start a bad precedent? Now, the thing that I prefer over the thing that I prefer Brew covers over the team, the Phantom Men covers, is that there's less crap on the front cover. You know, because for Phantom Men have the stories and they have all the other stuff, and we're beginning to get there already. We've got the title, we've got the corner box, and then with the backup stories, we're including it on there as well. And now are we going to be including that? I would kind of like, yeah, I think it just looks better without the dressing.
We don't want it too busy.
Sometimes a salad is better with less dressing.
You're right. I don't think there's anything more to say on that.
The other thing that I want to raise is if you were seeing it on YouTube, you would see that this page was fully across. The Fru have kind of squished it, which you can see there, as you can see it there. So you've kind of still got all these bits and pieces on there, and then you've got the next issue, and then the reason for that is because you've then got the next story, which we'll get into in a second, but it finishes on the last page as well. So
So
I
it's a
guess,
jam-packed issue, and there are a page or two over quota, were they?
So do you squeeze it in like that, or do you not have the back issue and put in some letters? Like, what would you prefer?
That would have been a conundrum that I'm sure that Dudley would have had to think about. By the looks of it, there would have had to been a stack of letters. Or they would have had to advertise your messenger bags and subscription, you know. So it would have been a couple of pages of the messenger bag ad, subscription ad. So you're saying squeezing it, but have they affected the artwork or is it?
Look, I don't think the artwork is really affected in any way. I'll
Then
if you're
I
on
think I'm
YouTube,
happy with it
I'll
then.
on YouTube, I'll do a comparison so you can see it. But I think they made the right decision.
Yeah. Looks like he was stuck between a rock and a hard place, and he chose this one, and I think he's done a fine job with it.
Now, as much as I like reading Dudley's editorial pieces, as much as I like reading letters from fans and stuff like that, I think having an extra short story is the right decision. And yeah, I think Dudley has made the right call. So I congratulate Dudley on that.
Good, thanks. Yeah, when I saw the note here about the squeeze of the pages on the front inside page, I thought, what are you talking about here? So I'm glad you were able to show that for me. Because, like, I don't have my comic. I'm going to put that through every time. Anyway, we do have a backup story, as we mentioned. It's Fandom by Gaslight, and it's of Man and Beast Part 2, written by Andrew Constant with art by Jason Paulos. It's been a while since we last saw the Phantom and Doctors Moreau and Jekyll, so I was, for one, grateful for the little recap on the first page. Doesn't go for long, just goes for enough to remind you what's going on. At the end of part one, Jekyll had consumed far too much of the serum and has now transformed into the monstrous Hyde. The Phantom is no match for Hyde's strength and speed, and bullets just bounce off him. Will the Phantom be able to escape the monster's clutches, or will Hyde end up gnawing on the Phantom's bones? If only the Phantom had an ally nearby, because sometimes you just need a monster to fight a monster.
Very good. Now, I've been on the record about not liking Phantom by Gaslight generally. I've been on the record not liking the latest, the last graphic novel which featured the monster. But I must admit, I actually enjoyed this part.
Yeah, this worked for you, didn't
I did
it?
not see it coming. And then he's going around and I'm like, okay, what's it? And then he's there and I'm like, oh, and then I'm like going, Andrew wrote that story with Frankenstein. In that story, it had that he helped pass phantoms. And I'm like, That's very clever. That's a nod. I like it. I like what he's done. So, yeah, look, it's, I think Gaslight needs to be fun.
Yeah, has to be.
The Gaslight stories that I've personally enjoyed the most are fun Gaslight stories. And this now fits in a fun Gaslight story. I'm pretty sure every single reader has heard of Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde.
Yeah,
So,
Mr. Hyde.
yeah, Mr. Hyde. So it's a lot more relatable because most people have heard of the story. Most people know of Frankenstein. So yeah, I think it's a lot more relatable. And yeah, I look, these guys here kind of remind me of, like obviously they are people that Dr. Moreau has created and stuff like that. I remember watching the, what was the movie with Val Kilmer back in the day, in the 90s, all those decades ago? Steven's trying to go
Val
back.
Kilmer movie.
I'm pretty sure Val Kilmer did. I think he did it with, pretty sure he was in a Dr. Moreau.
Oh, The Island of Dr. Moreau. Was that
Yeah.
with Brando?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My memory
I've
serves
never
me
watched the
correct.
movie. It could
Yeah.
be right.
But, yeah, so I remember watching that. We've got this. The bad guys remind me, those little minions remind me more of Bebop and Rocksteady
Bebop and Rocksteady from the Turtles,
from the
yeah.
Turtles. But again, they're kind of relatable. And so, yeah, look, I enjoyed the story. It was fun. It was short. It was punchy. I think that's what this needs to be. And if we're getting more Gaslight stories like this, I'm probably going to have to change my mind, and everyone's going to have to hear it on. What about yourself?
Now, no, I enjoy it for all the reasons what you just said there, but yeah, there's nothing more I could add. I thought it was fun and punchy, as you said. It moves along very quickly. Now we've got this story instead of a continuation of Shane Foley's, which we've been getting lately. Does that affect anything at all? You know, breaking it up?
Well, I think the re now I don't have official word on this, but I'm kind of reading between the lines, is in our past conversations with Jason Paulos, he talks about every story he submits to Fru, he colours. I know Shane Foley doesn't colour every single story. So this was a colour issue, so it makes sense to produce. And I think Jason Paulos's work looks better in color, so it makes sense to include all the color issues with the next part of it. Yes, I think it works better when they're more together. But again, this was a difficult conversation or a difficult thing for Dudley to do, and I'm going to back Dudley and say that he's made the right decision again on this one.
Well done, Dudley. I think so too. Great job. Okay, so that's all the reviews.
Wow.
We've
Wow.
done that quick. Well, the reviews from Australia, now we get to go around the world. So we have Seju Jabir reviewing the latest Regal and Shakti comics from India. If you're from Greece, France, Hungary, and/or Brazil, and you would like to review these comics for us, well, please contact us. Also, as a special video, we are including a side-by-side comparison with Wick 6 and Phantom Spécial 37 from 1981. Thanks to Christian for this. It is a fascinating video. We know some of these stories will be published by Phantom, and we expect Fru will also publish them. So we can look forward to that in the future. Rightio, take it away, fellas.
Hello, welcome to a Chronicle Chamber book review. For this review, we have The Phantom from Shakti Comics, their latest issue, which apparently does not have any number. So I suppose this is number 12, so that is what it is. Let's just get into the review. We have here the name of the story, which is The Presidents, discovered by Abhishek Biswas. Yes, a very nice looking cover, but the colors look really good here. But as you can probably notice now, if we put the previous issue side by side, And also that does not have the number as well. I don't know why they stopped, but that is, I don't know. Anyway, so this issue was laminated, the cover was like, the colors really popped. But now here, no lamination whatsoever, nothing. So that is kind of a drawback, I suppose. So one more thing that that Shakti kind of changed, I suppose, with their publication. Opening it up, it feels thin. It is because in the previous issue, they used kind of a thicker cover, thicker paper to, you know, actually print the cover than the paper that has the stories in it. That's just why it could hold the, you know, story. But now, if you lift this one up, it is just going to bend. So there is one thing that they changed the paper. They chose to have some less thicker paper, and also got rid of the lamination itself. And as a result, the colors don't actually shine anymore. The inside look just exactly like the year before issues. So just the precedence and the story and the writing credits there. And here the story. And the colorist is also Santosh Atsul, who is coloring their issues now, apparently. So that's good, I suppose. And the copyright information here says 2022. I don't know why. Because this issue has been in production, I suppose, since the 2023. And just came out a couple of weeks ago, so that's what it is. The pages of where the story is printed is also, I suppose, it is to be compared with the thickness of the previous paper. It is kind of less thicker, and these, so they actually essentially so. Took down the thickness of this paper as well, and also this one, the inside pages. And I suppose it's their move at, you know, decreasing their costs and something like that. So that is something. Okay. So the color by Santosh Atsul. What do I say? Well, it's basically to sum it up. The colors are colors have the same problem that I have already had. You know, that is kind of overuse, too much kind of sort of color that reminds of the, you know, Indrajal era, but it is not the Indrajal era, because during the Indrajal era they had to do colors physically. Now they don't have to do it physically because it's digital. But even though it is digital, the colors hide a lot of important details just as well, because they are all hidden. The face of Lamanda Luaga here is just too much use of color. That the details in the black and white it's just missing, you know. Even the treehouse, when it's colored like that, you know, it needs to have more depths. But it is what I believe, you know. It's what I actually believe. So this is the story of the precedence about Luaga and the descent of Ibor Ilana Goranda. And the page, even though it is not that as thick, and it got just bent, but yeah, the colors really are represented. but surprise, surprise, you know, Santosa Chul has not improved or done anything because everything is the same. At least that's what I feel. Like, why have, you know, Lamanda Luaga's coat and his hair color the same? Like, that is not coloring. Then overuse of colors. Then the costume of the Phantom still looks the same, even has the red and black trunks. Still, you know, still these red and black trunks are prevalent here. It's just same use of colors. Some panels like this one kind of looks nice because, you know, they are single panels and kind of they have to look nice, but then these kind of things are not these things that then those things there. The colors are overused. These kind of green panels too much. You must use a kind of lighter shade. That's what I feel, you know, kind of lighter shade is needed. It's not, you are not trying to do a Indrajal stuff, you know, you are trying to do a modern thing with the character and trying to popularize the character. And it's great that we have two publishers, Regal and Shakti, but you know, if one is kind of making such things and trying to put them out in three different languages, you must be able to kind of do kind of better color work. These kind of dark colors, these kind of look really nice. Some aspects, yes, but then again, the overuse of colors begins. The faces, you know, some attention is required, very much required. Without attention, then the head of the Phantom is half missing now. For some reason, yes, it is there. Yeah, then Babu is there. Some panels like these single panels look really good, but then these faces and these kind of, you don't even have the Phantom's belt, symbol on the Phantom's belt now. Like what? You know, the colors kind of need improvement, you know, very much. And that ends the story. So yeah, I mean, it is so bad, you know, think that, you know, kind of a publisher of the character I love, you know, everyone loves here, you know, making some not too much pleasing decisions and kind of trying to do some weird things, then changing their format or something like that. It is not very pleasing, you know, Shakti. You must try to kind of find a fixed format, you know, and then do some stuff. Then we, and at the end, we have kind of this a compilation of the Phantom's villains of some generals. You know, this is a folk thing. He kind of tried to make more and more evil dictators during his later years, and have the Phantom fighting against some names and some countries. Their farmers just, and that's, even the designs are very similar. Then this kind of fat generals. How many are there? Fat large generals. This one is also this one. Then these kind of bearded generals are there also. That is kind of, yeah. Floridon. Okay. Yeah, this kind of every single story's names are there. And complied by. That is also a grammatical mistake. Compiled, it has to be. And Bishadeep and Abhishek. So the cover artist and their staff writer. So yeah, I mean, that's great, I suppose. And for the readers, new readers of the Phantom, that gets to know about more of these, and that is great. But you know, you must, you know, provide some good printing quality. Not printing quality, but colors and something like that. That makes the presentation great, you know, only this one and some essentially, you know, unpleasant colorings does not make a fan happy. That's what I have to say, and that is what I actually think. So yeah, that was the review for this issue, and in the end we also have there. This one, they actually used to have this in the last page, and then there was kind of introduction to the Phantom. They moved this to the last page now. Also, having these covers, this is a Italian one. This is a comic art album, which kind of had this story there. And it has the basic informations. However, you kind of have, again, another mistake. Yeah, you must again, this again, another one. Kind of, you need to kind of look after your proofreaders, you know. Must proofread this issue and also improve the colors, please improve the colors and bring the thickness of the issue again, and the papers, please. That's very much a required thing. Okay, so that is what I would like to say. The price of this issue is $2.49 again. This is the same as this one, but you know, as you can see, the difference in quality. Is, I guess, they're decreasing their, you know, cost, but you know, you must be able to deliver some good stuff. And also, if they can do that, you know, try to be timely with the audience and get the issues released in a timely manner, that would be great for the audience as well. That's all I would like to say. This one review went too far, I suppose. Kind of, I tried to talk about my thoughts behind the what I like and what I dislike and what I would suggest to Shakti. And this is kind of what I like to talk about. And I hope Shakti listens, you know. Today we are reviewing the Phantom number 35. The Christmas special of 2023 from Regal Publishers. Regal Publishers in India have been publishing the Phantom for a long period of time now, and now they have reached their 35th issue. This issue came out in the first week of January and was shipped around the second or third week, and I actually had received this issue during the end of January. So as a result, this kind of review was kind of delayed, but that kind of delay will have to wait, because now I will review this issue, and hopeful that I will be able to provide more reviews in a timely manner. Okay, so let's get started. So this issue itself has a cover done by Ankit Mitra, who is of course Regal's main artist and everything, and he is also an art director in their production house, I suppose. So this cover is a Christmas themed cover, and it features essentially several moments from the stories inside, and with, you know, a Christmas theme, of course. Therefore, you know, it is said it is by Ankit Mitra after Cyberry. Okay, so the freebie with this issue is this one. This one is a Christmas card, Merry Christmas card, based off the cover. A different sort of paper, but it's thick and everything, so that is essentially very good. So let's get started with the review itself. As you can see, the pricing for this issue is 600 rupees. And so this is their standard format for this kind of thick books, this thick kind of paperback books. Opening up the book itself, we can see there are three stories inside, as you can see here. The Epidemic by Lee Falk and Cy Barry, Steiger also by Falk and Barry, and Captain Amazon Pirate Queen from Falk and Barry. So therefore, you can see they have also included the disclaimer about the story's themes, which is interesting. And of course, this is again from the cover itself. So we are here to see the first story, which is The Epidemic by Lee Falk, and artist by Cy Barry, and the colors are by Ivan Fredriksen from Norway. The story, the artwork here is this story essentially is a daily story. So this with Ivan's colors, it was first published in Regal, so this wasn't printed in through or other publications with Ivan's colors. That's what I mean. And that is being presented here. First feel of this as we go through that. The fact that, you know, Ivan's colors are always kind of pleasing to the eye, and this kind of use of this kind of colors, and it looks really good on this Regal's paper, which I really like. It's really, really, really good work. And yeah, the printing looks very good. However, the size of these panels are quite smaller. If I would say that, because kind of, you know, if they kind of make it a little bit bigger, it would kind of make a difference to the readers, because they would, you know, see the art a bit more enlarged, and the story also is kind of more pleasing to the eye. That is kind of what the thought that came into my mind while I was kind of trying to do this review itself. So the art is a daily story, as it is from it is during the initial years of Cy Barry, so 60s or 70s, kind of like that. During that time, this story was published. Very nicely printed by Regal. The colors are very nice. Looks really, 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 really good, you know, as you can also see. So that kind of ends the story here, is the end. And moving on to the next story, which is Tiger Tiger, a Falk and Barry Sunday story from the 1990s or 1980s. I'm not sure at the moment, but yeah, I think it is from the 1980s, I suppose. Yeah, it is. It looks really good, and as you can see here, it is also colored by Simi Muhammad. So this is Regal's, you know, main colorist he is now, and the problems with his work before I had was he put extra shades or shadows into these, into his colors work, but now here it is still present in this Sunday Story format, and it is being colored because of the fact that the original color copies of these does not exist anymore, so they must take help of local colorists. Here, Simi's colors look really good because the shades are not that kind of prevalent here. It's more like it is better, you know, I'd say. You know, it looks really, really good. Colors do pop, and it is kind of, in a way, very, very nice and pleasing to the eye, of course. And I really, really, really am fond of the colorings here. Like, you kind of put this kind of, it is kind of not needed. It is not, like I said, had said before, but, you know, it is, if he is doing this, it is kind of fine because he has reduced the bit, but also because him not having the continuity, which I was criticizing. Like, here you have, in this panel you don't, in this panel you don't, in other panels you definitely don't. That is kind of the idea here. So, that is what the story is. Tiger is about, you know, Lee Fox's explanation about why there are tigers in the Phantom's Bangala in Africa, because Africa does not have any tigers. So it is a very kind of explanatory story. Yeah, and again, kind of the shadings, but it is fine. It does not look that bad. It is great. You know, his previous work was also great, but you know, this is kind of a problem with kind of, this is here. This here is a panel that was used in the full reprint of this strip. So that was the cover done by Terry Webby or Tessa, and I really liked that cover a lot. So then this ends the story, the Tiger. Then we move on to the story of Captain Amazon, the Pirate Queen. This is the third and final story in this comics, and it is also a Falk and Barry story. And it is also colored by Simi Muhammad. That is a surprise. Another Sunday story also. So let's get into it. As you can see here, the colors are quite different because, you know, here the shade of purple is kind of different in this story. Kind of Simi thought that he would upgrade, I suppose, and these two stories were his way of upgrading. And as we can see here, the shadows, the shades, everything are gone. He has not tried to use them here. And the colors look really good here as well. You know, it looks really good. The colors do pop, and it is pleasing to the eye, and just very good. And it looks fine, you know, very fine. There is a version of a colored version in the Bengali magazine called Desh that I have seen, and I actually have some of them, I suppose. And that color was also really good. And this one is also kind of nice, you know, very nice, and looks really pleasing to the eye, as I said before. It is, it is nicely readable, and it is also a nice story as well. It is one of my favorites, I suppose, and I really like this one. There we go. This and the end of the story itself. Yes, so yeah, nicely colored by Simi. Really good coloring. Some panels look really impressive. Overall, a great work and a great issue from Rico, indeed. In the back, we can notice Regal is using an advertisement. So that is also a great thing, I suppose, because since they are using advertisements, they can also get some other kind of revenue for their comics and, of course, continue on with their publication for the matter. So now, since it is March, so at least 2 months have passed since the release of this issue, and I think they will be releasing another one very shortly, which will be be reviewed in a timely manner, and I hope I will be able to do that. So that is what I essentially think. Thank you very much for watching this review.
My name is Chris. Today we do a side-by-side comparison from Wick Comics and Phantom Spezial number 37, just to look how different the colors are that Wick have done. So we start now. The first page is the information page, impressum, and then we start with the comic. And here you see the different colors, and I start side by side. The bottom one is, like I said, the old magazine. And this magazine is the new one, and you can choose which one you like most. Some difference you see here in the paintings and here, but all in all, I like both magazines. And just to show you the both magazines. And we are done. Then I have one side more, and we're finished. Thanks for watching.
Thanks, fellas, for your review, and we look forward to you joining us next time. Now we're on to the newspaper. So we've got Daily 265 is still ongoing, which is still called The Chain. The Phantom and his son Kit have now moved on into the jungle. And in the last week, they've uncovered, some bad guys seem to be raiding a Longo village, an abandoned Longo village, of their major artifact. But as you've been saying in our little messenger, over the last little bit there, Jim, what has this got to do with the Chain story? Now, the only link I can see at the moment, pun completely intended, was that they're holding this giant Longo monument with chains, and you just saw in the back seat of the tray of the ute that there was chains in there. There are plenty of chains that are appearing around here. So will they play a bit more of a part in the that's what I was just talking about. In the story, which links what's happening now to the Phantom's dream that he spoke about at the beginning of this story. Time will tell. I'm sure Tony DePaul, he's always got something up his sleeve. Oh, I haven't seen this one. Oh, is this the week ahead? I haven't seen the week ahead yet.
Yep, so here's
more
giving
chains. Me spoilers.
So this is, yeah, so we've shown chains in the back of the truck. We've shown chains on that big Easter Island lookalike statue. And then you've got this guy here. Now, when I first saw this one, this is the 4th of April, he looks like a bad guy straight away. And that's one of the things that I like about Brett's artwork is his bad guys remind me of Wilson McCoy's bad guys. Like, you look at him and go, he's a bad guy. Now, I reckon he's a bad guy. purely
Can't
by the
argue
way,
with that.
Purely by the way he looks. He looks Wilson McCoy-ish bad guy. He's got the big ugly nose. He's got the big beady eyes. He's either bald or balding, and he looks butt ugly. Makes us look like rock stars, Steve.
He
But
could just
yeah,
be having a rough time.
well, yeah.
Looks like he's captured there.
But yeah, so he looks, it does, but yeah, he looks. And so then, yeah, so this is the 5th of April, where we see the a warrior for the Queen's Guard. So look, I think you
So
might.
you think he's betrayed the Longo, or he's been forced to betray the Longo?
Look, I don't know. Now, I've been wondering where he's going to be, where this story's going. And the chains is like, yeah, okay, that's, I don't think it's a red herring. I think you might be onto something that they get captured and then they have to have their own chain moment. Maybe Tony DePaul's then going to, I don't know, maybe he's finished destroying the chain story, which has upset a few fans, especially Dan. That's the real reason why he's not on the podcast. No, it's not really. But and then so maybe he's going to build it up or show the endearment that fans have to it or something by the fact that Kit, you know, the 21st and the 22nd Phantom are going to have to work together to grind away the links themselves. And, you know, they only know about doing that because of the story that the 20th Phantom has told them through the 21st Phantom's dream. So I think that might be where we're going with this. So you might be onto something there, Steve.
Well, we'll see how we go. And what do you think of Brett's art? I think last time we said he's coming into his own. He really is. I'm really enjoying his art.
Yeah, look, I am. I think the grins, like his one on the 30th of March. You know, like that grin's less, you know, for the
a
lack
bit
of a
cheesy.
Better, yeah, for the lack of a better term. I'm not quite sure on Kit, but I like how Kit's not just a cookie cutter of what the 20th Phantom looks like without his mask on. You know, he's his own person. He looks different. He's got his own. You know, we've also seen him when, I think, where was it? This one here on the 1st of April, he talks about, you know, the Phantom's like, you know, I saw these tracks, you know, and stuff like that. They left virtually no sign. And then he's like, Kit's like, oh, I worked my horse right by there and I never saw a thing. So, you know, he's realizing, hey, I've still got a long way to go. So there's development in the 22nd Phantom, aka Kit Jr., as well, so I'm liking that dynamic as well. No ring on the Phantom there, but that's beside the point.
Ooh.
It's quite clever having like the electric, like the batteries and stuff like that. Obviously, there's still going to be noise, but there's not going to be as much noise. So,
okay, and also we've got the Sunday story, The Commander Will See You Now, which is Sunday story 194.
So, where we last left off, the 10th of March. So basically, we're about a month into them looking throughout the new commando's office.
Yep.
We've seen the doorstop, which is the Maltese Falcon.
Maltese Falcon. Yep.
I'll let you talk about the other one, which you picked up. But
yep.
A couple of points about this is the Maltese Falcon is from a movie, which. Obviously, there's a bit of a clue here with you know, Werribee looking this little black and white thing. Now,
Humphrey Bogart, I think.
I'm not that vintage. So I didn't pick that up. So, but I what I picked up was that there's actually been a Phantom story of the
Of course you did.
second Phantom
Everyone
where,
else knows the movie. Sam, he knows the fan story from 300 years ago.
And so I picked up the story. Now, because I was trying to rack my brain. This was a 1995 free story, 1121, I believe it is. The Golden
Just off the top of
Falcon.
your head there.
So it was the second Phantom, or was it the third Phantom? Like one of those two, actually. But the Falcon went into real life and then dropped a golden feather off at, what do you call it, at the Skull Cave later on. So that's how he got the golden feather. But what's actually interesting is we're actually seeing the actual statue, which has been from the 11th Phantom. So what I find interesting about this is previously we've seen other elements. So we've seen the Maltese Falcon, we've seen weapons, we've seen the flag, which is from, I can't remember
Oh, we did
it.
hear about this.
It was a flag from, I can't remember the name of the flag, but it was from a well-known pirate. And then there's been books and stuff like that as well. So I've enjoyed this. And I think what it does is it gives room for either Tony DePaul or other creators who want to align themselves closely to what's been now established Phantom lore, is to be able to create stories which quite easily hook into Phantom lore. Like we know the 11th Phantom found this statue. And if you listen to the last podcast we did with Andreas Erikson, his story of Julian the Phantom battling the Sing Pirates and then jumping off the cliff and stuff like that story was actually from a previous Team Phantom Men story where it was just the one panel. And then he created a whole story of a reference to this one panel. So go back and listen to Andreas as he talks about that. So the beauty about what this does, if you're a creator and you're running out of ideas, there's that flag, there's the Maltese Falcon, and there's some other elements as well that could be created. So I think that's quite clever because it allows a joining of different universes, for a lack of a better term.
Now, this is an interesting one for those of you who are watching on YouTube. So Tony got in contact with us and told us what we thought. Now, and whether we pick things up. Now, this was, I think, is it the 24th week?
Yes.
What? Yeah.
Yeah,
So
sorry.
Sunday the 24th. I hadn't actually read this, and he sent me stuff. What the hell is he talking about? I don't remember reading this on a Sunday. Realized it was a week ahead. So we've got all these different books, you know, and even Diana makes the comment, "Oh, Invisible Man, Count of Monte Cristo. I'm starting to see a man of mystery theme here, darling. You know, nice touch." And you know, that was a bit of a wink and a nod there. The other ones aren't quite so obvious. So unless you're really paying attention. Now, Colonel Warrable, we always think he's a learned man. He knows he can speak quite fluently, speak quite clearly, quite an eloquent speaker, not like us. To get up on across here on the podcast, but he stumbles across the word metamorphosis is the word, and that's a bit of a hint about what's going on with this story in particular. When we talk about, you know, things being meta, you know, a story within a story, the, you know, learning about learning and all that sort of stuff. We've had the Phantom thinking that he's the only one that knows what's going on, but then we've got Leaf Hulk right behind his back, you know, realizing there is actually an audience that also knows what's going on. And it's a bit of meta storytelling, if you like. So a bit of a hint in there about the meta of the whole storytelling in this particular adventure. Metamorphosis is the name of this. It's not. It's a poem or something. I can't quite remember now, but there's a lot of things going on, particularly in this line, you know, the middle row in the Sunday comic. And all we know of Legends begins here, Commander Excelsior, Professor R.J. Griffin. Now, the three of us, Germ, Dan, and myself, had been going we've been tearing our hair out. We've been trying to figure out different things. We've been back and forth with Tony, trying to see if we're on the money or not. We're trying to figure out who that bust is on the safe behind Warrabool there. My first idea was Caesar. I was wrong with Caesar, even though I think Metamorphosis does have something to do with Caesar. Then I started Googling absolutely everything. Anyway, I come up with this fella, Ovid. I don't know this Ovid fella, but I was right. And so that is a bust of Ovid sitting on top of the safe there for, well, there are reasons why it's there. But I'll let you guys figure it out. But what's also interesting is this Professor R.J. Griffin. Who would be Professor R.J. Griffin? Is this a little bit of the outside world, our world, who was watching all this unfold, steeping into the Phantom Adventure Jam? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, so we did post this last Sunday on our social medias, and there was quite a few people on various pages and stuff wondering who Griffin was. So he is actually a professor in real life, and we've been in contact with him, more on that later. But his name is Robert Griffin, who is a long-time Phantom fan. A brief bio is he was a co-founder for Friends of the Phantom, which is of Ed Rhodes and Pete Clow's fame. He was a consultant for the 1996 Phantom movie. And he also helped Jim Shepherd and Barry Stubbersfield actually find the unedited and uncensored original newspaper stories to be able to print of what Frew did back in the 1990s. So he might not be as popular to everyone or well known to a lot of fans in 2024. But what he did in the 90s and early 2000s was very, very key and instrumental. So it's a lovely touch by Tony. We have been in contact with him, and we are looking at doing a podcast with him as well, because I think he'll be a fascinating, intriguing, you know, some of these elements about the Phantom, but also from a higher perspective, but also stories about Lee Fork, about Ed Rhodes, Pete Clowes, consulting on the movie and finding all these treasure troves of unedited daily artwork, which we are loving now. I would love to be able to ask some questions about that.
Forever indebted to him.
And then this is the next one as well,
the next one's also Easter Sunday's one is up. I'm not going to read that because I'll wait for tomorrow morning and I'll read it then.
Yeah, so in this one you've got where the Phantom basically introduces himself to the Jungle Patrol. So I think we are beginning, we've spent the last month or so, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks in the commander's office. Now the Phantom's throwing another spanner in the works and saying, hello, what can we do for you? So, I'm intrigued. I've enjoyed the last month or so, but I'm intrigued for this story to kind of move along now.
On to news. So, first point we got here is Regal 35 and Fru had disclaimers about past classic stories being part of the time, etc. Is this needed? I'm trying to remember where this was happening in the Fru. What
can you shed some light on this? In the last replica edition, which we reviewed last podcast, but we didn't discuss it. And then in Regal 35, which Suaz reviewed in this podcast back 10, 15, 20 minutes ago, he talks about it as well. So I thought and we are in the cancel culture today. It's just a matter of life. It's life. We have to be culturally aware of what has happened in the past and stuff like that. So I'm intrigued in just hearing your thoughts, whether it is needed. You know, what are your thoughts about it?
Until, if I'm being honest, I didn't see it until I've just read it there, so I had no idea it was coming. It has content advisory. Please note that this publication is a direct reproduction of historical content and is presented in its original form. As such, it may include negative depictions and or mistreatment of people or cultures. So That's interesting. I'd assume that that's going to be the way that the tribesmen have been depicted. That's the only thing. Having, not gone over these stories and not having a photographic memory of every fandom story like yourself there, Germ, that's the only thing that I can think of.
It is worth saying that you and I are two middle-aged white guys.
Oh yeah, I realize my privileged position that I'm at the top of the food chain.
Yeah, so we do not understand why it is needed. And we won't stay on this for too long, but probably the main negative of the Phantom to a lot of people is that it is a white person in a jungle full of
Yeah,
Africans.
the white
The
savior
white savior
syndrome,
complex.
which is the fandom's biggest critique by people who don't know who the fandom is.
Yes, yeah. I think we might leave it there, but it was interesting to probably raise it. I would love to hear what some other fans think about it. So if you are listening to this, get in contact with us. You can email us at chroniclechamber@gmail.com, or you can comment on social media as well, but or on YouTube. But we would love to hear what your thoughts are on it.
So no doubt they're going to have that advisory warning on all the old classic stories nowadays. All those, yeah, probably from the McCoy to more and more era. Probably less so in Barry's era. Okay, moving on. Phantom Men 8, 2024 features Uppsala to coincide with their comics convention. Should Fru do this? Ah, so there's a comics convention happening over there. We've got Supernova, we've got Oz Comic Con. Geez, it'd be nice if we could integrate them into a Fru comic or a locally produced Fru story.
So in the actual story, it actually features Uppsala. Now, Uppsala's a city in Sweden, and they've timed it, say, hey, let's reprint this story around the same time as this comic convention is. I know there's Andreas is going there. He's got a panel on. Robert Armand's got a panel on. I don't think it's fandom related, but I think it is. What do you call it? I think he is going to be there. So there's a Phantom influence. And then you've got this comic which has got like a big cathedral and a couple of little elements of that is very known to be Uppsala. So it got me thinking, why does it, like Fru are at the Sydney Convention every year. But I think they did it, in the last 6 years, I think they've missed one due to COVID. If they are going again this year, we've done the jam covers and all that, but why not make it
A
Australia
Sydney story.
focus? Yeah,
Yeah, an
or
Australian one. Yeah, or even just Australia. Yeah. Be good. I like it.
I just thought it's an idea to kind of, and they've done similar things like that before, like when they had the Kid Phantom or Gaslight in the convention book. They've reprinted the Team Phantom Men story coming to Australia, which was the Black Opals in Uluru and stuff like that. So they've done that before, but it's just like, yeah, why not do it more regularly? And then, whether it's a special, you can have like a cover B or something, which you can only buy at Supernova and you can get people to sign it and stuff like that. Whether it's Paul Mason's got that Fury story, which has actually got Julie Walker coming to Australia. There's
There's room to have a bit of
ways,
play with her.
and just to have a little bit of fun, and it is. It's a novelty, it's a gimmick and all that, but why not?
Next up, we've got a Brazil writer to write a Lee Fogg biography. Anything more on this, Jim? Who's the Brazilian writer who's writing about Lee Fogg?
I can't pronounce his name, but he's a well-known
I'd have a
writer.
crack, but it's not on the run sheet.
Yeah, he's a well-known writer, and he's written like 20 books, including a lot of biographies. So this is actually
Okay.
being crowdfunded at the moment. At the
Right.
time I checked yesterday, it was 60%. It's only in Portuguese, and they're not shipping outside of Brazil, but it's 300 odd pages. He's talking about a lot
Wow.
of the stuff. There is going to be a link. So if you want to learn more about it, click on the link from our show notes. It will be all on there. What I'm personally doing is I'm getting a friend in Brazil to fund it on behalf of me, and then he's going to send me the book if it reaches funding. there's still like 30 odd days for it to reach funding, and it's at 60%. So look,
okay,
I know there's a lot of completists out there. Find a Brazil friend and say, look, you know, I'll buy you a beer and I'll send you a stack of free comics as a thank you. There's plenty of Phantom fans in there that would love to be able to get their hands on some free Phantom comics, and I'm sure they will do a deal with you, and it's a pretty cool thing to add to your collection.
Excellent. Sounds good. While we're on, well, we're still over there in South America, new Mythos Brazil hardcover collection featuring Wilson McCoy stories. If there's anyone in Brazil who'd like to review this for us, can you please contact us?
They've printed Ray Moore ones. This is a Ray Moore one. I printed two Ray Moore ones and two Cy Barry ones. And now they're having a go at a, what do you call it, a Wilson McCoy one. So this is how thick it is. They're hardcover. They're heavy. They're like over a kilo each. So that's why
it's called. Been well read there too.
This isn't actually my copy. Copy is somewhere else. I have done a review of them. So as much as a dumb English speaking person can do, I've done.
I assume it's written in Portuguese then.
Yeah, it's in Portuguese. I've done a review of it. We will produce links, but the reason this is still in its plastic is because this is technically not my copy. So,
go send it to someone else.
Yes.
Very good. Okay, Zilverstone to publish Defenders of the Earth comics in their Flash Gordon series. Did we talk about this last time or a couple of podcasts ago?
No. So. You're thinking of Mad Cave, who are producing the Defenders of the Earth in a trade paperback. So yes. Zilverstone are also releasing these comics, but they've only just started doing a Flash Gordon comic book series like they are with the Phantom. And then I know, is it Shacky or Regal? I think it's Shacky are also doing Flash Gordon, Rip Kirby and Mandrake as well. So what they're doing is, I think it's from June is their next issue, is actually going to feature issue one of the Defenders of the Earth. Now, I've talked to a few of our German contacts, German friends, and they've never read these comics before. So they're quite excited about this little scoop.
I've never read the Defenders of the Earth comics.
Yeah, never read the Defenders of the Earth comics. So they're quite excited. Christian, who does our reviews, we'll be buying them and reviewing them as well. So,
excellent.
Yeah. So I hope if you're a German listener, get the comics, enjoy it. And Defenders of the Earth seems to be making a little bit of a comeback.
That would be good to see. Because as we mentioned, the Mad Cave Studios, we got nothing further than what we've said a month or two ago now, is there?
Yeah, but this is, so what we're talking about, so Mad Cave Studios are releasing the trade paperback. However, I've seen rumors online, and at this stage, it's only rumors. There's nothing on Mad Cave Studios. I haven't seen anything. I've reached out to Mad Cave Studios. No official word from them yet. But the rumors are is that they're actually releasing a new stories of the Defenders of the Earth.
Oh, that's big news. Are they going to do the old stories first and then do the new one?
Well, yeah. So the old stories are coming out in the trade paperback in June.
Yep.
And then I believe, from what I've seen, is that the new Defenders of the Earth will be coming out in August.
Now, will this be brand new, not the fabled fifth story?
But from what I believe, it's actually new, like a new created series.
New. Wish you all the best with that.
August, September is still quite a while away. You know, might not be doing anything yet. That's why there might not be an official word. But we're going to keep sniffing around. We do like hearing stuff like this. So, So watch this space. Keep an eye on our social media. And you can also keep an eye on our website as well.
Excellent. Now we see we've got a new Indian T-shirt range. This isn't the thing that I saw on the messages or whatever about with all the Phantom covers on a shirt, was it?
This is actually an official license.
Probably licensed.
Yeah. So, you know, you get those ugly Christmas sweaters or those ugly Hawaiian shirts. It was like in that vein. And I was joking around, sending it to a lot of people like, come on, you got to wear this to the Phantom dinner and stuff like that. But no, this is being found by Suez, who is in the middle of writing an article about it. So it's either will be published as this article, as this podcast goes live, or in the week or so after the podcast goes live, and we're just giving you an exclusive.
Now, lastly but not leastly, we've got, it's coming up to comic convention season here in Australia. So we've got Supernova. So that's happening in Melbourne and Gold Coast. Well, Melbourne is next weekend. So that's the weekend after Easter. There's a number of creators who are attending. We mentioned Alex Tripp a moment ago.
So from Melbourne, you've got Ken Stacey, who did one of the...
he did the card, the collector cards.
Yes.
From back in the 90s, though.
Yes. It's the fans of getting into like an F-14. Now,
yeah, it was one of the first cards I got.
Yeah.
I remember that it's ingrained into my brain, that one.
So, you know, make sure if you're going, make sure you get that card out, get it signed.
You have to do that this weekend.
You've got Alex Tripp, which you talked about, Jason. Alex obviously has done this comic, going to stick a remark on it. You got Jason Franks, who did the Rock and Roll Phantom stories. You get some signature on that one. You mentioned Lauren Marshall from WA. Now, I believe she's got the next through cover that is coming out. So I'm not sure if it's going to come out in time for Melbourne Supernova.
Well, might not, yeah.
Maybe for some subscribers, obviously not for you, Stephen.
Not for me.
You're now blacklisted by Renee White, so you're at the bottom of the pile.
I'll just make a note, you named him, I never named him.
You got Lily McDonald, who did the a cover for the Belly Epoch series.
Oh yes, yep.
You mentioned Jamie Johnson, who is an old well, I won't say he's old because he's not old, but he's a classic fan.
I think he turns 40 this year. Socials, which I think coincides with the age of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I think he made a reference there.
So sorry, Jamie, you're in the 40s now. You're old like the rest of us. And then you've also got Dean Rankin, who has written a few stories, including in the 75th anniversary story as well. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Phantom creators who have done something Phantom related in the last 30 years.
If they arrive in time, I'll have a bundle of Chronicle Chamber merch to give away to fans who see me. What's the magic word?
They're going to say happy Phantoming to you.
Happy Phantoming. That'll do it. I will be wearing my cap with all my badges on it. I'll probably be wearing my purple Phantom t-shirt, but I'll definitely be wearing my cap with all my badges on it.
Yeah. Now, yeah. So go up to him, say hello, get a photo with him, say the word happy Phantoming. But more importantly, get some comics, get some signatures, and look, I'll recommend, you know, if they've got prints, buy them. If they've got
buy their prints, yeah.
You know,
support the local artists.
You know,
be great.
Get a little remark on there, or if you've got like, you know, if you've got sketch comics or whatever, you know, spend some money with them because it's not cheap for them to do it. You know, and then they love the Phantom just as much as you do. They want to sign Phantom comics. They want to do Phantom drawings and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, do that. Now, the week after is Gold Coast Supernova, which is April 13th and 14th. Now, not all of those artists are going to Gold Coast Supernova because a lot of them have to fly themselves there. Alex Tripp, Dean Rankine are going, and Ken Stacey is as well. So there's at least three. If there's any others, we will update this website. We've got on our website, we've got a link. The link will be in our show notes. So we've got all the conventions in Australia, and we're going to be listing the guests that are going to a lot of them as well. So look, go out, support them, say hello, get a photo with them, get a signature. If they got a Phantom print, buy a print, spend a little bit more, get a little remark or a sketch, and you know, tell them that we sent you.
So thank you one and all for listening or watching us. As I mentioned before, our website is chroniclechamber.com, and as Jem mentioned earlier, our email is chroniclechamber@gmail.com. We always love to hear your thoughts, your feedback and opinions on our social media platforms or over at the YouTube channel. Our next podcast is an interview with Cy Barry as he talks about his worldwide influence, one not to be missed. Now, as always, you can subscribe to us via YouTube or through your favorite podcast apps, including iTunes or Spotify. Thank you once again, and please get in contact with us, and I hope to see as many of you as possible at Melbourne Supernova. And from me, happy phantoming.
Happy phantoming and all. Stay safe.
And happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Get into those chocolates.